Hi, this is Matt Storms of Alpha Tech Council. Today I'm with Scott Button, who is a Managing Director at Venture Investors. Scott, welcome.
Thank you.
Scott, would you describe Venture Investors for those people that aren't familiar with it and talk a little bit about your firm's size and location?
Sure. Venture Investors is a seed and early stage venture capital fund. We're based here in Madison, Wisconsin. We also have an office in Ann Arbor, Michigan. The firm's actually been around since 1982. Roger Ganser was the founder of the fund. We have a couple focuses, one being geography of the Midwest, the others being stage, seed and early stage, and then we place a lot of emphasis on funding technology transfer out of our region's major research institutions. We have five funds under management, and total capital under management is right around $200 million.
How many of those funds are actually active right now?
Right now, we're actively investing out of our Fund 4, which is a $117 million fund. We've made 15 investments to date, soon to be 16, and probably have another couple to do.
As you mentioned, you're focused a lot on early stage companies. What have you done to actually encourage entrepreneurism?
Great question, yes. I mean, I think as we all know, both the University of Wisconsin as well as a number of the other research institutions here in the Midwest are real leaders. And we thought specifically at the UW, you know, there was more things that could be done to help try to encourage and foster entrepreneurism. So as a part of our most recent fund, Fund 4, we formed what we call the Venture Igniter Program. And this is not a novel idea or concept. It's been done on the coast for a long, long time, but it's really an entrepreneur in residence program. We've helped co-found or collaborate with three companies that we've invested in to date that, where we've taken a founding stake or an operating role to help assist these companies off of campus. By no means is the intent to get in the way of a founder who wants to start a company, but rather that situation where technology would not see the light of day without some assistance or some push or some pull by the Venture Igniter program.
So how do you, kind of related to that, how do you identify technologies that are ripe for the Venture Igniter program?
Well, it's very similar to how we look for traditional deal flow. It's obviously working closely with folks within our network. And here at Madison, it's we have a lot of relationships with the department chairs, the chancellor, the tech transfer office, and you just become aware of interesting technologies and tend to follow those, and at some point they might become candidates for a Venture Igniter investment.
Are there particular areas? I know that a variety of venture capital firms specialize in certain types of technologies, and within organizations, different partners within the VC firm focus on different specialties. Is there a particular specialty that you personally are involved with?
Historically, my focus has been on everything outside of healthcare or our technology portfolio. And if you were to look at the firm, about two-thirds of our investments are in healthcare and the other third in non-healthcare investments. So that is my focus, but I would say in the last year or two, I've also expanded the range of things that I look at. I'm also very interested in medical devices that have a strong engineering orientation.
You mentioned earlier that your most recent fund has made a number of investments. Would you talk a little bit about the actual investments that you've made in this last year?
Sure. Yeah, actually within the last year, we've made two investments. One is a company called Lenzex. It's a medical device company that's developing image-guided femtosecond laser that the goal is to automate the manual procedure of cataract surgery. It's actually a team that we've backed before. They're the former founders of Intralace. The second company that we funded is a University of Michigan spin-out called NanoBio. This is a biopharmaceutical company that's really focused on developing products for the prevention and treatment of infectious disease. Right now, their lead candidates target herpes, nail fungus, acne, cystic fibrosis, and influenza.
Turning to kind of a more of a prospective basis, when you actually look at an investment opportunity, what are some of the elements that you look for in the executive summary or the business plan when you first take a look at it?
Yeah, both with the business plan and with the executive summary, they need to contain all the typical aspects of what you would expect in those documents. But I think there's a couple areas of focus that we hone in on. I think first and foremost is we're investors in people. And so we're always very interested in the backgrounds and expertise as either of the technical founders or the management team. Beyond that, it's keenly looking at the market opportunity, both the size and availability as well as that unmet need or that problem that they're proposing to solve. And within that, you're interested in both the market size as well as with the product, a quantification of what is the value proposition here? Why is it faster, better, cheaper than, say, anything else in the market? And then really leading into intellectual property, what's keeping another well-capitalized company from repeating or competing with the concept that you have.
Yeah, you mentioned the importance of the team associated with a given company. Do you actually prefer to meet with the company first or the individual execs prior to reading the plan, or is it the other way around?
So that's an interesting question. You know, we really have an open-door policy with the university folks, and many times they don't have a plan or they don't have specific documentation around their idea or concept, and we're more than happy to sit down with any entrepreneur and have a conversation about startups, the process, and we can be particular about maybe the technologies or markets they're looking at. If it's a more established company, our preference would be to, you know, to receive a business plan or executive summary. In that way, we can become a little more educated, a little more smart for that meeting.
Well, you mentioned some of the things that you actually look for. Are there certain red flags when you actually look at a summary or a business plan?
It's amazing how many times when you sit down with someone for the first time and the first question they ask before having any conversation about their business or the market opportunity that they're pursuing is, you know, it's about valuation and ownership and how much do we typically own, and if we were to invest in their company, you know, how much might we own? And, you know, obviously that's an important topic and we know it's a sensitive issue for all involved, but at the end of the day, you know, it really sends the wrong signal that maybe someone's focused on the wrong issue. I think the other thing is you know, we're certainly interested in the focus and intention of the entrepreneur. Many times you meet folks who have their hands in many pies and are involved with many different startups, and at some point it raises the question of, gee, if I invest in this company and it turns out that there are other companies doing better than the one I invested in, will they give me the full time and intention that it deserves? One of the other areas that we look at, especially when you meet on site at a company, is just looking at the surroundings and understanding where the dollars are being spent. And if you see lavish facilities or all brand new furniture or desks, you start to question what's the priority and how capital efficient and how mindful will they be with your investment. I think probably should have stated first, but of utmost importance is, you know, a founder's integrity and ethics. Because at the end of the day, yes, we are technology investors, but we're really investing in people, and we're trusting these people to execute upon what they've said and entrusting them with our investment. And I'd say that, you know, one of the last things is just a willingness by that founding team, whether it be the management team or the technical team, to self-reflect and really understand their strengths and weaknesses and understand that at some point, particularly on the leadership side, that they know what they do really good, and that's what they want to do, and they understand that at some point you need to bring in leadership and appropriate leadership into these companies to take them to their fullest potential.
Are there, you mentioned some of the general industries that venture investors is interested in, as well as some of the areas that you've invested in, but are there particular technologies or niches that are of particular interest for you when you consider an investment opportunity currently?
We are generalists, and, you know, really the model here is to take advantage of the great research that we see throughout the Midwest. You know, with that said, a lot of our investments fall into a couple different buckets. On the healthcare side, a lot of what we've done historically is in devices, diagnostics, therapeutics, research products, and I would say, you know, we continue to see a lot of investment opportunities there coming out of the region. On the technology side, again, it's pretty broad. It can be anything from semiconductor to clean technology to material science. You know, I would say as of late, there's been a lot of technologies and interest in generally speaking, in energy storage and energy conservation. And, you know, we've seen some deals there on the healthcare side, on the device side. There's a lot of interest in minimally invasive procedures and things that provide equal care and cost reduction within the healthcare system. So I'd say those are some areas that we've increasingly seen more deal flow as of late.
Once a company shares an executive summary or gives an investor a prospective pitch, how long does it take for an investor to actually make a decision and then actually close on the deal?
You know, it's an interesting question because I think you'd get two answers if you asked either one of our portfolio companies or a prospective company or our view of the process. I think from the portfolio or from the company side, they would say we can never make up our mind and make that investment. And I don't know if there's any typical process for us. You know, there's been situations where we've looked at companies for years and continue to have interest. But I would say, you know, on a more typical basis, I think our process, you know, can go anywhere from 4 to 6 months from the time that we had, say, an initial meeting with the company to the time that you might be in the process of, you know, negotiating investment documents or about to make an investment.
Can you mention that Venture Investors is a generalist, and when you actually get a technology that you're not that familiar with, but you're nonetheless intrigued, do you actually work with scientific advisors to actually help you assess that technology, and is that part of the time you're talking about as it relates to this 4 to 6 month period is actually engaging people to do that type of diligence?
Because we are generalists, there are certainly a lot of topic matters that, you know, we explore where we seek outside help, whether that be through the networks or the advisors that we have, or actually sometimes reaching back into the university. I wouldn't say that's necessarily really the gating factor to why our process takes so long. You know, I think it's a couple things. One, we're very thorough. Two, oftentimes we're trying to build syndicants, so it's not only us coming to the point of making a yes decision, but it's many times it's trying to convince two or three other funds of getting to that same point, and obviously that takes time. And then I think thirdly, sometimes it's a matter of, you know, companies achieving some milestones that they said they were going to do that we want to see happen prior to us making investment. And as we all know, sometimes those things take longer than anyone ever expects.
You mentioned the issue as far as syndicates were concerned. How often, when you make an initial investment, is it part of a syndicate of other VC firms, or compared to how often you actually make the initial investment as a single firm?
Our preference historically has been to work with syndicates, and I think in these times it would be a pretty unique or pretty rare situation that we wouldn't do something without having a complete syndicate. It's just, you know, we need more depth, more financial capacity around the table at the outset, because in this environment, it's very uncertain on a company's ability to raise additional funding, say, outside of that syndicate.
Most entrepreneurs know it's a pretty tough environment currently for them to raise money, but not a lot of them know how difficult it is for VC firms to raise money. Would you describe that environment, and then also, are you affected currently by that environment?
It's interesting times. There's really two measures to look at. I actually looked at the data for the second quarter of this year, and $5.27 billion was invested in 595 companies, which was actually up over the first quarter. However, it was down over, say, the same quarter of last year, which was $8.3 billion and 726 deals. I think the other measure is so that's on the outgoing side, but the incoming side as far as how much venture capital was raised into new funds.
And new funds, you mean new venture capital funds themselves, not the portfolio companies.
That's right. And in that case, it was down substantially. So only 25 venture firms raised a total of $1.7 billion, which was the smallest amount of funds raised in any single quarter since 1996.
Oh, wow.
And the dollar amount equates back to Q1 of 2003. So, you know, what that suggests is it's nice to see the investment pace picking up a little bit. It is obviously concerning that it's such, you know, liquidity is so tight with our investors that, you know, the ability to raise new funds is almost non-existent. And so that suggests the inventory is being used up, because historically, if you were to look at outlays and inlays, oftentimes the amount raised by venture funds is very close to what's being invested. So as you can see, it's way out of sync right now. And, you know, I think ultimately that will have an impact on companies' abilities to raise money. I mean, right now, if anybody's out there raising, they understand it's a really, really tough environment, and people are being real selective as far as the investments that they're making.
Well, you mentioned one of the red flags you have is when a company comes in and before they get into details about their business plan, a number of them want to talk about pricing. Kind of in light of the current environment, what would you describe the current situation or current trend is as it relates to company valuations?
Yeah, so, you know, there's kind of the anecdotal evidence of what we're seeing both in companies that we're looking to invest in or through our portfolio companies that are looking to raise, say, later or second rounds of capital. And generally speaking, there's, you know, as you might expect, you know, valuations are falling. When you look at the Venture Source data, both for seed and first rounds, it's been somewhat stable. It's fallen a little. I think where the biggest decline has been is in second round valuations. And so that would be, say, your B round valuations. Question there, the issue there is the other trend, macro trend you're seeing is less investment in seed and early stage deals. And part of that is, and the mindset is why should I take all that risk when I can come in at a B round and get such attractive valuations. So the challenge for investors like ourselves and other early stage investors is right now both ourselves and investors and, you know, early stage companies are not getting any credit for the progress or the risk that you're taking in early stage investments because your second rounds or your B rounds are coming in at really tough and really low valuations. And the same can be said for even later stage rounds. So the biggest decline is in kind of the second and third and later stage rounds, which obviously impacts a lot of companies.
I was reading something recently about some unique pitches that some venture capitalists get. Have you, over the years, had some crazy or unique pitches that are particularly memorable for you?
Well, we had a situation where someone was promoting or trying to raise funding for some children's publishing that they had done, and were very creative, and it was around a caricature, you know, to get our attention. The founder showed up in costume to see one of the partners to talk about her product and her company and her venture, and obviously tremendous passion. Actually, it's a great idea, a great concept, very well done book, you know, beyond the bounds of the types of things that we invest in, but it probably was the most unique approach and pitch that I've seen today.
And clearly memorable. Huh?
Memorable, very memorable. It was, someone in a banana suit honking their horn, promoting their endeavor. So it was great, very impassioned, and very well done.
Great. Is there anything else that you'd like to add?
No, other than thanks for giving us the opportunity to talk about our fund, what we do. Even though these are incredibly tough times, if I look back at the history of our organization, you know, probably one of our best funds is going to be the Vintage 2000 Fund. And as we all know, our industry went through a tremendous downturn and contraction. And so some have said, and I do believe maybe some of the best companies are formed in the toughest times. And hopefully that will be the case in this situation too.
Well, let's hope so anyway. It would be a nice silver lining to the difficult times we've had recently. Well, great. I want to thank Scott Button, Managing Director of Venture Investors, for being here today. And I'd also like to thank our listeners for tuning in. This is Matt Storms of AlphaTech Council, signing off.